You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 15th, 2024, and this is Grandpa Dan streaming at RadioAlbion.com. I'm so glad you could join us this week. We're kicking off yet another official work week, and I appreciate you doing so with us here at Radio Albion. As always, I encourage you to check out our content. We'll have something up. We always intend to. Once in a while, a wrench gets thrown in the works. But as things are rolling normally, we'll have something new up every day. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, of course, Wednesdays, his Orthodox Nationalist program, always a great listen. Dr. Johnson will be back on Thursday with his Daily Nationalist, which I'm sure he will be covering kind of what we're going to hit on today. That's my expectation. I haven't had a chance to converse with Matt yet on such, but my expectation is that he'll be more in depth and on today's topic, which we're going to get into today. And of course, I plan to be back on Friday with an attempt at a lighthearted Daily Nationalist, which usually doesn't work, but I will be attempting to do so. But we do have fun time. It's a great way to spend your week, pass a little time in your week, whether you work or whatnot. So we do appreciate you joining us here. I appreciate y'all who have contacted Sven Longshanks, who I continue to have his contact information here on the Daily Nationalist Show. We're not going to forget him in prison. I got an email from him recently, and he continues to do well. I sent an email back to him yesterday with more boring things about what I've got going on. You know, with people inside, when people were locked up, you know, just hearing about people going about their daily lives is like access to the outside world. You know, it's easy to think, well, I'm writing to this person, you know, and I myself do that. You know, it's like I'm writing this fan. I feel like I should be telling him something important, you know, and it's like, you know, just hearing about, well, you know, I was out working outside, you know, I don't know, you're digging in your garden or something. You may think, well, this is a mundane thing. Nobody cares about it. Well, under normal circumstances, that might be the case. But when somebody's locked up and they don't have access to the outside world, just hearing about your mundane activities, what you're doing, how you're dealing with life, it means a lot to people. It's like a kind of a way that they have contact and access to the outside world. So please don't hesitate to drop him a note, whether you use the email service or postcard or letter. You know, and just let him know. I mean, even if you don't hear back from him, it doesn't mean he's not reading them. It just, you know, he's limited on how many people he can respond to, as particularly when it comes to the snail mail. He's very limited on how many of those he can respond with. The email service, that doesn't apply, which is why I use the email services. It's very, very good. Well, anyway, to get off into today's topic, I'm not going to use specific news stories. We're just going to have a general discussion. We did have the anticipated Iranian retaliation for Israel's attack on their consulate, on their basically what amounts to like an embassy there in Syria. I'm going to get into all of that today. I wanted to touch on it. I feel obligated to say I'm not, you know, this is just my opinion. This is just, we're just going to kind of look at it, and I'm going to give my opinion on it. I'm not proclaiming like any sort of expert opinion. We'll wait for Dr. Johnson's take on that to get into the real in-depth, more expert analysis. But at the same time, you know, this is just me giving my opinion on it and my takes, looking at the big picture, because it'd be kind of silly to do a topic on something else today when this is kind of, well, this is the big news as of today. So we're going to get into this, and, everybody knew this was coming. You know, there's several things that are, of course, obviously worth getting into here. And I always like to stress the importance of any story is never to look at them in a vacuum. This is how the media apparatus in the West functions on the level of success that they do, and is one of the reasons why it's not as successful as it used to be. Because people have access to the internet, people are more open in a lot of ways to receiving information from other sources, such as here, Radio Albion. You tune in to Dr. Johnson, and he gives an expert background and analysis of these things. It really breaks down that media control, because the media control relies on you looking at a story in a vacuum, with tunnel vision, without stepping back. I always say it's so important anytime you look at a story, or analyze a story and discuss a story, not just like what we're doing here, but you yourself, when you're presented, okay, this happening has happened. You always want to step back and say, okay, well, what's the context of this story happening? You know, the media will go around and say, oh my gosh, the Iranians have struck at Israel. But you again have to step back. Because the media in the West, the media here in the U.S., they're telling this story, and they're not even hardly mentioning the fact that Israel attacked Iran first. But you even have to step back further than this, of course, and look at what's been going on since October. You know, the mass slaughter of Palestinians by Israel, with the ever-thinning fig leaf of an excuse of the October 7th attacks, which even that, you know, because the October 7th attack by Hamas into Israel, they immediately did what they always do and attempt to blow this up and exaggerate the story. And they couldn't help themselves. They came up with these ridiculous exaggerations. And some people still fall for it. I had somebody here, you know, sometime, but about probably a couple of months ago now, and somebody came to me and they said, you know, I was talking to somebody at work about all that's going on in the Middle East. People come to me with this stuff randomly from time to time. When nobody's looking, they're like, hey, what do you think? And they said, somebody at my job told me that one of the Israeli women, you know, they found her body and she had the DNA from the semen of 80 different men in her. 80 different men had raped her. And I just laughed. Not because like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm laughing in the face of this horrible story. I'm laughing in the face at this obviously ridiculous made up story. And my response was, after I finished chuckling because of the absurdity on his face, I'm saying, okay, so they're in the middle of a military operation. You're Hamas. You're in the middle of a military operation. You've just made this bold incursion into Israel. You know, you're expecting anytime imminent incoming fire from the IDF. Or in fact, you are under fire. You got the IDF. There's actual recorded evidence that the IDF was blowing everything up. The IDF showed up and started killing everybody. Israelis, Hamas, everybody. They just started blanket killing everybody, blowing up buildings. And there's Hamas holed up in there. There's Israeli citizens, civilians holed up in there. They're all held up in the same building. They didn't get to get taken hostage because they just blew everybody up. Now, that's on the record. That's actually happened. Now, all of this was going on in the middle of, there's machine gun fire going on, rockets. You know, you're on a very limited time frame before, you know, you got to grab your hostages and get back across the border. But in all of this is going on, incoming fire, you're under a time constraint. This is a highly disciplined military operation. You've got X amount of time. You're going to grab what hostages you can, get back across the border. And somebody says, hey, let's stop everything and have a gangbang. Let's all stop and rape this woman here. How many guys we got here? Okay, we got 80 of us. Y'all don't worry about returning fire or looking for incoming fire or anything. Let's all drop our britches and do a gangbang, do a gang rape here. It's not realistic. They came up with this overhyped, ridiculous, over-the-top Holocaust tier, you know, pedal-powered skull-smashing machine tier narrative, because they just can't help it. The woman was decapitated with a shovel and raped 6 million times. Now, look, I'm not saying no Israelis were harmed in the course of this operation. I'm not saying that. You know, people try to discredit what you're saying by going to this, you know, creating this straw man by doing this complete. Oh, so you're saying nobody was even hurt by the innocent Hamas? I'm not saying that. They use this a lot. You see this in the diplomatic discussions of this. People are pointing out, well, you're slaughtering tens of thousands at the minimum Palestinian civilians. Don't you think that's a little over the top? Yes, but do you condemn Hamas? Well, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Oh, so you're saying it doesn't matter that, you know, Israeli citizens were harmed. Nobody said that. You don't want to fall for that. So you have the context of October 7th moving forward. They used this as an excuse. They tried to dress it up with ridiculous propaganda, which, again, I think it should be somewhat white-pilling. It should be so much encouraging that really very few people fell for that. Very few people heard that and were like, oh, wow, that sounds totally legit. Masturbation machines of death. Yeah, totally must have happened. People stepped back. And you have to keep in mind that when people step back and question that, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that when they get a moment to breathe, if they ever get a moment to breathe and to think about things a bit, they might start thinking, well, what else, you know, sounds a little ridiculous that we've been led to believe? But that's not today's topic. You have the context of their justification they're using to turn around and mass slaughter Palestinians. I saw where somebody pointed out the other day, and it was a really, really, really good point. And I don't remember where I saw it, somewhere rando on the internet. But somebody pointed out that you remember when the IDF leveled the first Palestinian hospital? Remember when they went into Gaza and leveled the hospital? And then they said, oh, well, it was just a misfired rocket. And in fact, we think it was a rocket fired from Hamas that misfired and happened to hit this hospital. That's what we think happened. It totally wasn't us. And if it was us, which it totally wasn't, we didn't do it on purpose. Well, fast forward to today, and they've officially leveled every hospital in Gaza. So that tells you the lie behind the first one where they said, oh, no, Hamas did it themselves. They misfired a rocket or something. Because they went on and systematically leveled every other hospital in Gaza. So we know that one, their first reaction, once again, was to lie. You have all of this that's going on because, again, this matters. This is leading up to this relates to what we're discussing today. You have to always keep in mind there's a reason the media apparatus, the media machine, wants you to look at the story in this tunnel vision context. Nothing else is related, but it's all related. Obviously, you know, you have to limit yourself at some point. We could go on and go down the rabbit hole of what led up to October 7th. I mean, you could just keep going all the way back decades and decades. We're not doing that. We're not going that far. I don't think it's necessary. But you do want to be able to step back and go, well, wait a minute. You know, why would they do this? You know, they act like October 7th. They told the October 7th story like it happened in a vacuum and without ever asking. But why would they do that? What's their motivation? It's not just hate. There's a motivation. There's a reason for it. Anyway, you've had this ongoing slaughter of the Palestinians. Now we're at the stage that they're officially starving to death. I mean, pretty much nobody is denying at this point that there's famine now in Gaza. These people are literally starving. The ones that have somehow managed not to be bombed into oblivion, shot, shelled, they're now being systematically starved to death. And just like the original story with the first hospital, oh, it was just a stray rocket by Hamas, and if we did do it, it was some sort of accident or something. There's just, oh, well, you know, there's not really, we just got to work out some technicalities, and it's not really a famine. And then when the last Palestinian, theoretically, I guess, drops from starvation, they'll shrug and say, well, you should notice this. This massive intentional killing of civilians, and that's what it is. They keep saying, oh, no, we're trying to just get Hamas. It's a mass killing of civilians. This is putting a lot of pressure on these Muslim, these Middle Eastern governments. Their citizens are not happy, and they've you're given a lot of lip service, but they've been very limited on their response. Nobody wants it. Well, almost nobody wants this to escalate into a wider war. You know, they're condemning, and you have all of this stupid fanfare. I wish they'd just get rid of the UN, by the way. I mean, nothing comes out of it. You know, you have these diplomats show up and make these strong statements, and everybody circle jerks each other around. It's really tiresome and teasing. I don't think it serves any real constructive purpose. But nonetheless, these different governments from Iran, Saudi Arabia, all of these Middle Eastern governments, you know, they're under a lot of pressure from their populations that see this going on and are reasonably, very reasonably outraged. Hell, people in Western governments are reasonably outraged over what's going on. They're trying to really tamp down and clamp down on people being outraged and protesting against this. But very, people don't see this as reasonable behavior. You know, you have some, evangelical lunatics or people that just, you know, they just see this as brown-skinned Muslims are getting killed, so piss on them, who cares? But reasonable people are looking at this and saying, this isn't right. We were looking at this and instinctually say, well, you're just mass slaughtering people now, starving them to death. That's not right. These Middle Eastern governments are under an enormous amount of pressure from their population. But, you know, aside from giving lip service or showing up at the UN and doing these things so they can say they're doing something, they've actually done little to nothing. And there's a reason for that. They don't want to expand this conflict. It's not in their best interests. Now, you would think, people, you know, everybody would kind of wink and nod at each other and try to figure something out to keep it from expanding. But remember, I said almost everybody does not want this to expand. You see, the exception to this is Israel, which does want to expand the conflict. Israel wants the U.S., their U.S. golem, to go to war with Iran. They want to expand the conflict and drag the U.S. in while they have this control over the U.S., which they obviously do. That's not even debatable at this point. While they have this control, they want the U.S. to attack Iran. But they got to have a reason. So Israel just goes out and bombs the consulate in Syria. Now, you understand, embassies, things such as this, in foreign countries, that's their soil. That is their territory. If you went down and bombed a foreign embassy or a foreign consulate here in the U.S., for whatever country, I'm throwing a dart and saying Turkey. So you went down to the Turkish consulate, and you attacked that place. It is viewed no differently than if you attacked that country. That's considered their soil in this other country. That 2 acres or 5 acres that consulate's located on is considered the nation, and my example I'm using here, is considered the nation of Turkey. You've attacked the nation of Turkey. Now, obviously, some rando crazy person decided to do that. Turkey's not going to go to war because a random crazy person attacked their country. But this wasn't that. Israel flies into Syria, which didn't invite them, by the way. So they actually attacked Syria as well, but they've been doing that. And for some reason, that doesn't lead to any condemnation or seem to be any problems, just accepted as the norm. And they bombed the Iranian consulate. They attacked Iran, which they, by the way, they've been attacking Iran off and on for years as well. Once again, nobody seems to have a problem with that either. So, well, with the backdrop of all of this pressure on these governments, they go out and attack. So now Iran has no choice. If the Iranian people say these authoritarian governments, they just rule the people. The authoritarian governments are much more the so-called authoritarian, autocratic, whatever term you want to use. These governments are much more responsive to the pressures from the people than the so-called democracies. If the democracies were responsive to the demands of their people, they wouldn't be doing the things we're seeing them do now. If the Iranian government, the Iranian government had just sat back and said, well, they attacked our consulate and we're going to do another strongly worded letter to the UN, but we're not going to do anything, they would be in danger of being toppled by their own people. Their own people are pissed. They're tired of it. They've been watching this go on. They've got to do something. And when Israel did that, they knew they would have to do something. Nobody wants us to expand except for one country, Israel. Even the Americans don't want to get drug into this. They're being drug kicking and screaming into this. Of course, if they were the colonizer and Israel was the client state, you know, if the U.S. was the actual leader here in the empirical power dynamic, I'll get it spit out here in a minute. If America was the actual leader in this empirical power dynamic and Israel was the client state, this wouldn't be an issue. But you see, that's not the case. They're being drug kicking screaming because Israel owns the U.S. government lock, stock, and barrel. They've openly boasted about this. They've made public comments about the Americans will do whatever we tell them to do because we control them. They have, prominent political figures in Israel over the years have openly stated this in public. This is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. The Americans don't want to get drug into it, but they're being drug kicking and streaming. They're trying to find different ways out and not to get. But here you go. So they attack this. The Iranians now have to respond. And obviously over the weekend, they did respond. Now, how successful was this response? I don't know. I don't know. The Israelis and the Americans immediately came out and said, ha ha, they just landed out in the desert and did zero damage. Well, you know, that's bullshit. The Iranians basically said, you know, we struck a near death blow or something. Yeah, we really hit them hard. Although I will give them credit. They didn't embellish it any. They referred to it, I think, as a slap in the face to Israel. How much damage is actually done? I don't know. I don't think it was so silly as, oh, they didn't do anything and it was they barely scratched the paint and it'll buff out. But at the same time, it didn't cause massive damage all across Israel either. It wasn't intended to do that. It was intended to be a response to where their people could say, yeah, we struck them back. Now, right off the bat, Israel said, well, we're not going to let this go unanswered. And you had the Americans going, please let it go. Just let it go. We don't want him. We don't want to ask him. Well, we know you don't. But you see, Israel does. And they're calling the shots. That's the problem. They're your boss. One of the interesting aspects of this, and again, I'm doing this off the top of my head, but I saw it brought up, and the figures sound legit, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. But it said something like it cost Iran like around $30 million to launch this because they sent a bunch of their low-cost drones and some missiles. And the U.S. / Israeli U.S. defense systems, which they're so proud of, that they used to shoot this down, I read somewhere that it cost like over $3 billion. Again, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so bear with me. It's around $3 billion worth of assets spent to shoot down $30 million worth of drones. Now, I say that sounds legit because this harkens back to a story I read sometime back with the Houthis' successful embargo stopping a lot of this Israeli, you know, shipping to Israel, because I had read a story where, you know, the U.S. bravely sent destroyers in, and quickly after they were saying, well, you know, they're launching these destroyers, we're launching missiles that cost like $2 million a piece to shoot down these drones that at most cost around $2,000 a piece. You do the math. Again, bigger picture, this is related to what is going on in Ukraine. Russia is grinding up all of this super expensive Western military hardware at very little expense. These things are bigger than just, well, how many did you shoot down and how many did it? No, how much is it costing you? It doesn't matter if the U.S. and Israel did successfully, they didn't, but they did successfully shoot down every one of these Iranian drones and missiles. What's more relevant than that, because again, this wasn't Iran's attempt to level Israel by any stretch of the imagination. What's much more relevant, hear me now, what's much more relevant than how many targets did they hit is the fact that they cost $30 million. They spent $30 million and the U.S. / Israel, which really just means the U.S. because we know Israel's just spending American money, it costs them close to $3 billion. Iran could do this all day long. And they're not even dipping into their savings account, so as to speak. Meanwhile, the U.S., how long can they keep spending $3 billion a pop propping this defense thing up? And do they even have the weapons to do so? Or have they shot their whole load? And if Iran were to keep launching, then pretty soon there's nothing to fire up there to try to block it, to try to shoot it down. What happens if the Iron Dome goes broke? Again, this matters because context is the U.S. is already breaking itself financially in the Ukraine with all of this expensive hardware that just keeps getting blown up. You can't necessarily say, oh, well, this win, people want to score everything like a stupid sports game or some shit. This win goes to Israel because Iran didn't really do that much damage. They weren't really trying to do that much damage. Kind of wasn't the point. But if you look at it on scale, you know, they just bled the West a little more of another $3 billion. It's not enough to stop things, but you look at it collectively. This is very asymmetrical warfare that's going on. So where does this go from here? Where does it go? Well, Israel, like I said, Israel immediately said, well, they better look out. We're going to do something else. And the Americans are like, please don't. You know, the Americans are like, you know, we talked them out of it. They're begging them out of it. You know, you see a news story says, after the phone call, Netanyahu's backing down. After a phone call with Biden, Netanyahu is backing down on this talk of retaliating against Iran. Again, the Western media tries to portray this as Iran just did this out of the blue for like no reason. Playing down the fact that Israel attacked Iran first and has actually been attacking Iran off and on for years now. But, you know, the Americans are begging Israel, please don't respond further. But Israel is in the driver's seat. If they decide to do that, the Americans are going to go along. Again, the politicians in Washington are all owned by the Israel lobby. This isn't even debatable anymore. It's in your face. Even normies are starting to have to acknowledge this now. So really, in that matter, it's up to Israel. They're the ones calling the shot. The Americans can beg them enough, maybe they'll refrain, but it seems pretty apparent that Israel wants the U.S. to fight Iran for them. Whether they want to or not is irrelevant. So who knows where it goes from here? We'll see. Perhaps Israel will settle for assassinating some more Iranian randos or something, or Iranian military personnel, or maybe some scientists trying to drive to work one day. Israel, we do know that Israel really excels at bombing civilian targets. You know, I don't expect Israel to go fly, you know, but there was a lot of talk leading up to this. Well, Israel is talking about going and flying right into Iran and attacking Iran directly and bombing some of their facilities. Look, the IDF excels at bombing civilians and flattening hospitals. They don't excel at, you know, taking on other military. Now, in before the Six-Day War, this isn't the 1960s. Any response, if Israel does a response, it will be probably in order to, it'll be some sort of provocation to where they can try to get the U.S. to do the fight. This is always the goal. Remember the whole Mossad credo, you know, by deception, any response you might see from Israel will be in the context of trying to get America to go fight for them. It isn't going to be, I don't look for, and again, this is just me, my opinion. I don't look for Israel to take an action that could lead to them in a direct, them fighting Iran. Look for them to do something to try to poke Iran into doing something where they can do their whole, you know, oy vey, I'm the victim here, because the whole goal from their standpoint is to get America to fight Iran, not them. They've got their hand full with this Gaza nightmare right now, and hoping, they're continuing to hope that Hezbollah doesn't really launch a fight. Hezbollah right now has just been tying up Israeli forces. That's all they've been doing. That has been what their operation is. People are like, how come Hezbollah isn't doing it? Well, they are. They're tying up IDF forces. You know, if Israel miscalculates and does a real direct attack on Iran, and Iran says, you know what? Okay, we're done. It's on. Then it's on multiple fronts. Hezbollah comes in full force. Iran attacks. That is not what the IDF does. The IDF does bombing civilians. That's what they do. They bomb apartment buildings, hospitals. This is what they excel at. They don't excel at really fighting other, you know, tier four, other military forces. Their goal is to get the Americans involved in a way to where they themselves aren't taking the brunt of the fighting. They're trying to poke and prod and find a way. That's what this attack on this consulate in Syria was about. The idea was to get Iran to respond in a manner where they could, oy vey, we, you know, and make the Americans go in and fight Iran for them. It doesn't look like that has succeeded. So if they're going to continue this, and I don't see any reason they're going to stop, then you're going to see some other kind of provocation on this level. I think it's going to go over. They don't want to go over the line to where Iran says, we're going to start fighting you hard all on. You know, because at some point, even, you know, what do I want to say? If they really went hard at Iran, and Iran put an actual attack on them, including Hezbollah moving, including any other groups in Syria moving, all at the same time, even if America comes running to the rescue, it's possible that Israel could be toppled before the Americans could even show up, especially when you consider the Americans know and are being dragged into this kicking and screaming. By the time the Americans move equipment and move personnel and move to do this, the Israelis could be in a lot of trouble before that could happen. So my take is, I think you're going to see, if you see an Israeli response, you're going to see another attempt to not cross that line to where Iran goes all in and says, okay, now the war is on, but in a way to where, okay, well, the Iranians attack back maybe a little harder. This is all about goading the Americans into fighting for them, to fight Iran for them. Anyway, we'll see what happens. One thing that has been successful at, by the way, is it's got people to quit talking for a little bit about what's going on in Gaza. It's worked as a distraction. As, you know, they continue to starve out the population in Gaza, it's at least the media has been able, they've been able to use the media to divert anything away from that to talk about this. We're just going to have to see how it all plays out. Anyway, I appreciate y'all joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. As we look at these things going on, continue here at Radio Albion, we do our best to stay on top of the relevant topics. So again, thank you for joining us. Once again, I hope you'll get a chance to check out all our great content here on Radio Albion, Monday through Friday. We have something new up every day. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, Talk Radio for the nationalist community.